Good morning and a very warm welcome to this service of worship coming to you from the community of St Andrew's and St George's West Church in Edinburgh. On this, the third Sunday after Pentecost and the last day of Refugee Week 2020. You will find the order of service on our website. My name is Rosie McGee, I'm the minister, and you'll hear several other voices this morning. Leading our opening prayer is James Crearer. Our Old Testament reader is Pam Russell, and reading the New Testament text is George Russell. Our prayers of intercession are led by Dorothy and Alistair McKenzie. You will hear the choir of St Andrew's and St George's West, and our vocal ensemble this morning comprises Eleanor Cousins, Eleanor Wilson, Caitlin McGillivray, Tim Cooper, Drew Crichton and Andrew Carville. This service is edited and produced by Andrew Carville. Especially when our days may blur into one, how important that we observe Sabbath time, the Lord's Day. I invite you to join me in our responsive call to worship. Sisters and brothers, will we take the risk of seeing our world through the eyes of God? With God's help, we will. Will we so believe in the grace of God that we can dare to feel the longings of others mingled with our own frailty? With God's help, we will. In Jesus, we see a God who reaches out with healing hands to make us whole. Thanks be to God. Let us worship in spirit and in truth. And we worship God together in singing our opening hymn, I owe my Lord a morning song.
I owe my Lord a morning song, for God has made this day, through fears of night and hidden light, God moves and wills my way. I owe my Lord a morning song, for Jesus rose at dawn. He made death die and would not lie, that others might live on. I my soul to praise, but honored me with choice. I owe my Lord a morning song. How can I help us sing when God is all in all?
Loving Father, we come to worship you this morning, still unable to be together in our church building, but very much together in spirit, as we have been these past weeks. Help us to bring to you our whole attention, so that we may hear you speaking to us, and when we have heard, help us to obey. We come to you seeking your help in the great need of your suffering world. But nevertheless, we are overwhelmed by the wonder of your creation, inspired by the mysteries of life, and amazed by the beauty of your world. We are grateful for all your gifts, the gift of life, the gift of love, the gift of technology, which enables us to worship in this way undreamt of 3 months ago, and for your so many other gifts. Let us never forget all you have given us. We are conscious that during this past week we have again failed to live up to the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, in many ways. We act in ways we shouldn't, and also fail to act in ways we should. We have wasted your gifts, and have not always been able to fulfil the promise of our lives. We know, and you know, how we have let ourselves and you down. Help us to do better in the days to come. We confess all this and our great need of your love. Yet we believe if we confess our sins, you will welcome us with a smile and forgive us. Renew us and give us new hope. Thank you for your forgiveness, so that we may live as those who know they are forgiven. And now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Psalm 139, verses 1 to 10, and 23 and 24. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to
pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, Lord, let's go down, let's go down, come on down.
starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way.
We read from Romans chapter 6, verse 1b to verse 11. Reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Homeschooling. What kind of homeschooling have you been getting during lockdown? Okay, so you may not have any assignments to do or there may be no exams, but we've all been getting an education of some sort. Some of us are being educated about how technology can help us be together. 4 months ago, I had never even heard of Zoom, and now it's a part of my everyday routine. Did I ever imagine we'd be doing Kirk session meetings online? No. Yet we are. Technology also means I can do nighttime prayers over WhatsApp with a friend's daughter called Lola. Like so many children, Lola has been struggling with not being able to go to school and see her friends. So every night, we pray for them and others, and then Lola gives me what she calls a dizzy hug. She forms a circle with her arms, nods to the space she has created within them, and says, "You're here." Then she twists from side to side in such a vigorous virtual hug, I nearly feel dizzy. Well, in the absence of real hugs, a dizzy hug feels pretty good. So I'm going to go out on a limb and take the liberty of making a circle with my arms, including you in it, and giving you a dizzy hug. So there. We may never have hugged in real life. Yet I think in some ways we're becoming more authentically connected even while we're physically distanced. In conversations, however locked down we are, there's a freedom. A freedom in being able to say, I'm having a tough day today, and know that will be met with understanding and empathy. We are free to be more open with each other in our frailties and fears, as well as our joys and celebrations. And entering phase two brings its own anxieties as well as anticipation. Emergence from lockdown is not going to happen all at once, and it may be bumpy, but that's fine. It may not be graceful, but it can be grace-filled. Paul tells us that life is all about grace, abundant grace through the death and resurrection of Christ. He knew that it was hard to learn without a teacher, so he wrote to believers in Rome. They faced the same problems as believers elsewhere. The struggle with sin, suffering, unbelief, practical difficulties between different ethnic and religious groups, how to live in community. Paul knew that all these themes are intimately connected. They're in conversation with each other. The assigned text for today from Romans leaves out the first half of verse 1, which asks the question, what then are we to say? It's a polite way of asking, so what? And it comes after Paul saying in chapter 5 that however great humanity's sin, God's grace in Christ is greater, abundantly greater. So in Romans chapter 6, Paul has a conversation with the reader. Paul imagines what someone hearing that might think. Well, if all my sin is covered by grace, I can just keep on sinning. It's no surprise that Paul's answer to that is a resounding no. In one of her books, Barbara Brown Taylor tells a story from her days at Yale University. She was in the Divinity School library one day looking for some books, none of which she could find. When she complained to the librarian, he told her the missing books had probably been stolen, and he went on to say that the Divinity School Library had the highest theft rate of any of Yale's libraries. She was astonished. How can the Divinity School Library have the highest theft rate? She asked. The librarian replied, it's that grace thing. You people think you've already been forgiven, so you just go ahead and take whatever you want. End quote. Taking whatever we want? Really? Yes. Paul warns that the cycle of sin continues when the assurance of God's forgiveness is exploited. That leads to a sense of entitlement and privilege rather than a stance of humility. Entitlement isolates while humility connects. Privilege segregates while empathy unites. Perceived privilege and actual privilege are connected. The pain and sin of racism can't be separated from the reality of privilege. It's the same system that privileges some and discriminates against others. Peggy McIntosh has helped me become more aware of the everyday privileges I have due to the fact that I was born white, things I take totally for granted. Peggy's a teacher in the United States and she's white. She compared her everyday experiences in conversation with her African American colleagues and wrote a list of what she calls the daily effects of white privilege. Here's a few. Number 5, I can go shopping alone most of the time, assured that I will not be followed or harassed. Number 18, I can do well in a challenging situation without being called a credit to my race. Number 29, I can be sure that if I need legal or medical help, my race will not work against me. Number 32. I can choose band-aids in flesh colour and have them more or less match my skin. And the list goes on. It's not a trivial list. Ignorance of my privilege is part of the problem, and ignorance is no defence, whether in the personal or the public sphere. If the awakening of recent days were a liturgy, we are living in a call to confession. Prayers of confession acknowledge that sin infects not just individuals, but societies and institutions and all of creation. Over and over again in the Bible, the connection between the sins of those who went before and the ills of the present day are made clear. Just like the novelist William Faulkner wrote, the past is not dead. It's not even past. And an assurance of pardon is not an end to confession. It gives us the strength and the desire to dig down into what needs to be named and confessed. And in order to dig down, we need to listen and humbly acknowledge that we are not the keepers of the answers, and that we need to learn from the stories we did not write and experiences we have not had. This means stepping out of our comfort zone into the circle that others have created, into the space that others have made, space that we do not consider we own. And God assures us that space is grace-filled. Paul's antidote to the cycle of sin is to remember our baptism. It's a way of saying, be who you truly are. People who have no need to be defensive, because we have died to self and to ego. People who have experienced the ultimate connection of being united in Christ's death and resurrection. And to be resurrected is to be brought into a whole new world of authentic connection beyond anything Zoom can provide. Resurrection is the route to the restoration and the wholeness God desires for all of us and all of creation. Resurrection is the source of our hope. Way back in the 4th century, Augustine wrote that hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain as they are. May we live in the family circle of hope this day and every day. Amen.
Come together now in our prayers for others. The response to loving God is, hear our prayer. Lord, you are always with us. We thank you that we can bring to you the thoughts and concerns that fill our hearts. We pray for those who find it hard to understand our current world of change and uncertainty. For young children missing their grandparents and friends. For people with dementia, especially those separated from their families. We pray for those who are anxious looking ahead. For those whose education has been disrupted and who are worrying how it will affect their future. For people who have built up a business and see its future in doubt. For all whose livelihoods are at risk. We pray for those waiting for operations, worried about going into hospital, but anxious too about delay.
We pray for all who are carers in hospitals and care homes and at home, and for all the volunteers giving their time and care in the community. And we pray for all who have lost someone close to them. We particularly remember those in our church family who are suffering loss. Loving God, hear our prayer.
We pray for your church throughout the world. Though we can't be together in person, we can be together in spirit. We pray for wisdom for our leaders, working towards a new way of being the church for all generations. We pray for the work of Bethany and for the hundreds of homeless people in Edinburgh who've been given shelter during lockdown, for those who have been rehomed as a result. And for the opportunity we have as a church to feed homeless people. Loving God, hear our prayer.
We pray for our political leaders wrestling with the precarious balance between saving lives and preventing economic collapse. Give them wisdom, we pray, so that political divisions are replaced by a will to work together for the good of the whole nation. We remember the scientists and researchers who are devoting their time and expertise to manage the virus and to find a vaccine. Loving God, hear our prayer.
Loving God, help us still to hear the voices of the marginalised people throughout the world. We know that we are all equal in your sight. Help us to respect each other, whatever our differences, and to work towards a truly just society where opportunity and respect is equal for all. We pray that we can all learn from history and move forward together with hope for lasting change. Loving God, hear our prayer.
Lord, help us each day to see light coming through darkness, as we've learned to help each other, as we've got to know our neighbours better, and as we've learnt new skills and new technology to keep in touch. Though we thank you that we don't need Zoom to communicate with you. Help us to see that as the sun rises each day, so you are always with us. That even if we are isolated, we are not alone. And that you hear our prayers. Amen.
Amen.
As people of the resurrection, we move into the days ahead with hope. Hear these words of blessing for the journey. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you this day and evermore. Amen.